Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
By now, I am sure that you've seen footage like we just showed. You've seen those videos of communities rallying together to support first responders, to support teachers, to support their community in this season. And if you're like me, man, every time I see one of those videos, I'm moved. And the reason I wanted us to open today with one of those videos is not just because they're emotional, not just because they are moving. It's because I believe that those videos and really the act behind those videos reveal something. They reveal a need I have and you have and we all have. And today what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about that need. I want to talk about how our God can meet it. For your guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here, and I want to thank you for joining us because we are in the middle of a series. And the series is called End of My Rope. And in this series, we're leaning into the fact that we're all worn out right now. We're all tired. We're all exhausted. And what we've discovered is that our God, our Heavenly Father, has an answer for that exhaustion. And so if it is your very first time, I would highly encourage you, if you don't already, download our app, because you can go back and you can catch up on the last few weeks. This is week 3 of this series, because it's important for all of us in this season to know that there's help out there, that God wants to help. Because here's what we've discovered as we've been studying this for the last few weeks. Jesus has an answer to our exhaustion. And here's what he says. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." And he says, "I will give you rest." He invites us to come to him, and he invites us to find rest in any moment, but particularly in this season. And here's what he offers. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, as we've talked about for the last few weeks, a yoke is a tool that helps people carry more than they normally could, and also frees them up to do more. And that's what Jesus wants to offer us. When we come to him, when we turn to him, he wants to give us the ability to not only better handle what we're doing, but to free us up to do more. In the very first week of this series, we learned that there was a promise from God that we could rely on as we try to navigate this season. This is it. We learned that Jesus is with us today, and he is working on tomorrow. He's with us, and he's working. And what we learned last week is that promise actually moves forward into a process. There are specific gifts. There are specific things that Jesus wants to equip us with in all of life, but particularly right now in this season of exhaustion. And last week we talked about the first one of those, and that was wisdom. Specifically, Jesus wants to give us the ability to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. Last week we talked about how uncertain things are, and that when we lean to Jesus, when we follow Jesus, we can walk on the solid ground he provides, because while we don't know the future, he does, and we can walk with him. And last week we ended right there. We ended with that we can trust Jesus and he can give us a path forward, and we can see that path, and asked a question at the end of last week that we're going to pick up on today. What happens when we see the path forward, when we see it clearly, when we know what Jesus wants us to do, but we're exhausted? Sometimes we find it's too difficult to take a step. Well, into that moment, Jesus also speaks. And here's what we're going to learn today. Here's what he provides. In addition to wisdom, Jesus provides perseverance. And here's how we're defining perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to keep going when things are difficult. It's the ability to keep walking. It's the ability to keep moving. It's the ability to keep going when we feel like we're going to drop, when we just feel exhausted. And what Jesus says today is, hey, come to me. Let me teach you. I can give you that perseverance. I can help you keep going. And I know sometimes when we hear that, we can hear keep going, and what comes to mind is a trainer in a gym, you know, yelling at us, pushing us forward. Maybe it's a drill sergeant, it's a coach. But that's not who Jesus is. See, Jesus explained to us a few weeks ago that he is a gentle teacher. He is a kind teacher. And what I want us to do today is I want to dive into his word to understand how Jesus can give us the perseverance we need in this season to keep moving forward and to keep walking on the solid ground that he provides. And to do that, we're going to turn to a fascinating book in the New Testament. It's the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is a really great book because what basically the book of Hebrews does is it sort of outlines for Christians what God has been doing in the world from the beginning of time. It talks about how he began his rescue mission through the nation of Israel, how Jesus fulfilled that rescue mission, and how we can now live in light of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And near the end of the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews leans into this question. He leans into, okay, sometimes we're going to know exactly what God wants us to do. We're going to see the path so clearly, but we're just not going to feel like we have the energy to do it. We're going to feel depleted. How do we keep going? How do we find the perseverance? How does Jesus provide us the perseverance to keep moving when we just don't feel like it, when we're just depleted? And so if that's you today, you picked a perfect day to be here because Jesus has the answer for that question. So we're going to turn to Hebrews, and this is a bit of a complicated question. It's a complicated answer. In fact, it's going to take the writer of Hebrews part of three different chapters to answer this question. We're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 10, and here's what God tells us at the begin, in the middle of Hebrews chapter 10. Here's how God says, hey, before we get anywhere else, here's what we have to establish. Here's the goal. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's why we're trying to find perseverance, and here's what he says. He says, here's the goal. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Now to me, that pretty much puts perseverance in perspective, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find the strength to be able to hold tightly without wavering, to be able to keep moving, to be able to keep going. How do we do that? Well, before we can talk about how, God wants to remind us why. Why should we persevere? Why should we keep going? And here's what he says. He says, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Now, I know on the face of that sounds simple. Okay, we keep going because God can be trusted. But I don't want you to miss what just happened here. Because what God just did is he tapped into a common, universal human emotion. He's explaining to all of us, not just in terms of spirituality, but in all of life, the difference between persevering and not. What is the thing that sometimes gives us the drive to keep moving, to keep going? And what is the thing that sometimes says, you know what, let's bail, let's get out of this? And it's one word. And I want to show you what that one word is. Hope. When we have hope, we can keep going. We can keep walking. When we lose hope, we lose the ability to walk. And this isn't just spiritual. This is in every area of life. We do this every single day. Put another way, here's what he's really saying. He's tapping into a truth I know, you know, we all know, and it's this. The truth is that we keep going when we like where we're headed. That's the truth. When we like the end, when we can see what's in front of us and we can see it's going to work and it's going to be worth it, we keep going. See, I think about this in so many different areas of our life. When parents, when we are raising children and those first few months of 3 a.m. feedings, no sleep at all, diaper changes at 2 a.m., nobody likes that moment. But we keep going in that moment because we like where we're headed, because we want a strong, great child, and we want a strong, great family. When we're at the gym and we lean into that last set, and we try to do that extra set, nobody really likes that moment, but we push through in that moment because we like where we are headed. We want to be in better shape. Students, we don't really like having to study as hard as we can and work as hard as we can in the moment and sometimes beat our head against the wall because we can't figure out a concept, but we lean in, we work hard, we strive for excellence because we like where we're headed. We believe good grades, good education will lead to a better life. When we practice for sports, and when we're coaching our kids in sports, and when they're getting frustrated and we keep trying to help them practice, and they go out in the yard and they work again and again and again and again, trying to perfect the shot, trying to perfect the swing, trying to perfect the catch, they do that not simply because they like that moment, but because they like where they are headed. This is so intuitive. We do this in every single area of our lives. And so what God is doing in Hebrews is he's saying, hey, the same thing you use in every other area of your life is going to apply to Jesus. If you want to be able to persevere, if you want to be able to keep walking with him, it's key first that you like where you're going. It's key first that you understand he can be trusted to keep his promises. It is worth it to follow him, because once we decide it's worth it to follow him, we will then try to find a process that will help us learn to follow him. The process doesn't come first. He can't teach us how to persevere until he explains why we should. In the same way, we didn't learn how to change diapers just for the sake of changing diapers. We learned how to change diapers because we wanted to take care of our child. We didn't just go to the gym just to learn how to lift weights. We did it because we believed it would get us where we wanted to go. And what God is trying to show us in this is this concept, this idea of there's a picture out there, there's a place I want to go, and I believe this process will get me to that place. There's a word for that. And it's a word we use in church, and it's a word that applies to every one of these things we're doing. And the word, he tells us at the beginning of the next chapter, this is the word. The word is faith. Here's how he defines faith. Here's how God defines faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is what says, I'm going to go to the gym and lift weights. Because no one's ever gone to the gym one time, come home, and said, wow, I love the results. It's faith. We believe if we do these things over and over and over again, we have the faith that eventually it will get us where we want to go. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is he's saying, hey, I want you to believe that following Jesus is worth it. I want you to believe that where he's taking you is better. I want you to believe that it is worth any amount of energy, any amount of effort to lean in and to follow him. Because here's what he knows, and here's what I know, and here's what you know, and here's what we experience in every area of our life. Faith fuels perseverance. Hope, faith, when we believe it'll work, we keep going. When we lose that faith, it stops. And the writer knows this. And so before he can teach us how to persevere, he wants to remind us why we should. And so what he does in chapter 11, we don't have time to read it, but what he does in chapter 11 is he basically gives us success stories of perseverance. He gives us success stories of faith. He talks about all the men and women and the stories that are recorded in the Old Testament, the stories that are recorded some in the New Testament. He gives us these examples. He gives us these stories of person after person after person after person who not only knew it was worth it to put their faith in God, not only knew it was worth it to persevere, but they did it. And they came out the other side and their life was better. And the reason he gives us those stories is like showing us before and after photos. He's saying this was their life before faith. They trusted God, and this was their life after. Over and over and over and over again. He's basically condensing the entire Bible for us. And he says, you've got these people. You see this. Faith is worth it. God can be trusted. And that's so important for us, because if we lose sight of the why, if we lose sight of what's on the other side, it'll be easy for us to give up. But if we can hold in our minds and in our hearts, no, this is what Jesus offers. This is what comes from following him. This is the result. then it makes it easier for us to lean in and follow in the moment, which the God knows. And that's why after chapter 11, after he gives us all these stories, after he gives us all these examples, he then in chapter 12 turns to the process. He says, hey, now that you know God is good, now that you know God is worth it, now that you've seen all these examples, now that you know he can be trusted, now that you have a clear picture of where we're headed, when we persevere in Jesus, when we keep our faith, when we follow him, let me now teach you the process. Let me show you how to do this. And here's what he says, beginning in 12. He says, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, he's referring back to chapter 11, and the word witness there can best be understood in terms of a courtroom. A witness comes into a courtroom to testify. A witness comes into a courtroom to give facts. And what God's telling us there is he's saying, look, we just went through it in chapter 11. We have all these testimonies. We have all this evidence that this works. And what he's basically saying is, hey, if they did it, you can too. If they were able to persevere in this moment, you can persevere in this moment. But it's not just in the text. Wellspring, we all have people in our lives who have persevered. We all have people in our lives who have been changed by God. They're on the other side and we can see it. And what God's trying to tell us in this moment is, hey, if you want to be able to persevere, if you want to be able to keep trusting and keep walking, if you want to find that energy, the first thing you have to do is clarify the why. Is it worth it? Is Jesus worth it? And he just spent chapter 11 trying to help us see absolutely he's worth it. And then what he's saying is, okay, so when you start walking, when you start moving, the first thing you can do is take heart because other people have been here. Other people have done this. Other people have kept going. If they can do it, you can do it. Let their stories, let their testimony, let their lives be an encouragement to you that you can do the very same thing. But that's not all. He keeps going. He says, so after you see what other people have done, he says, for us, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, he's leaning into the language of running. And you're going to see why in just a moment. But I want you to think about this for a minute. If you've ever run a race, there are things you do when you run a race and there are things you don't do when you run a race. When you run a race, you focus on racing. You would never try to knit a sweater while you were running a race. Now, there's nothing wrong with knitting a sweater, but it's not what we should do when we're running a race. And God is telling us here about how to persevere is he's saying, hey, sometimes you're tired because you need to see other people, you need to know where you're going. Sometimes you're tired because there are some activities that you need to lose. Sometimes you're tired because you are doing too much. And this is where his wisdom comes in that we learned about last week. See, for some of us right now, we need to pray. We need to ask God to give us clarity for some activities we might need to stop doing. And they're not bad activities. They're not wrong activities. They might just not be healthy for us in this season. It could be a task that we're doing that someone else could do. It could be an activity. It could be a responsibility that you feel is yours, but God didn't assign you. See, through his wisdom, he can show us that. He can say, well, no, you don't need perseverance. You just need to stop doing some of these things. You're just trying to do too much right now. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, so as you follow me, use other people's examples. Ask around. See what other people have done. And there may be some things you need to remove from your life. There may be some activities, but there also may be, he keeps going, and he says, especially the sin that so easily traps us up. Another thing that can cause us to lose our energy and make it harder for us to persevere is sin. When there's sin in our lives, as we learned last week, it's when we follow Jesus that we walk on solid ground. And so if there are areas of our life where we're straying, where we're going our own way, where we're trying to forge our own path, we're not on solid ground. So we've lost that stability, and that'll sap our energy as well. And again, this is another place where you can search the stories, you can search the testimonies, you can pray, you can hear. Are there things in my life, Jesus, where I'm trying to take back control? Are there areas of my life that I'm not handing to you? And is that what making me so tired right now? And he says, hey, that could be it. And if that is, the easiest way to avoid tripping over sin is to follow Jesus on the solid ground he provides. So how do we persevere? We persevere by deciding Jesus is worth it. We persevere by learning from other people. We persevere by using wisdom to remove activities that maybe aren't best for us right now. We persevere by choosing to follow Jesus and to avoid the traps of sin. And once we've done those things, now God basically explains, here's what it looks like. Here's the goal. Here's where we're headed. Here's what he says. He says, so when we do those things, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. That's the goal. Let us run with endurance. Let us persevere. Let us pursue Jesus with all we have. Let us parent with Jesus with all we have. Let us lead our organizations with Jesus with all we have. Let us quarantine with all we have. Let us social distance with all we have. He's basically saying, hey, this is where we want to go. We want to run this race with endurance. And if we're running a race, we're headed somewhere. Where are we headed? Here's what he says. He says, we do this. We keep running this race. We keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So basically, he's saying the way you persevere, you have all these people around you. You can learn from them. You have Jesus' wisdom, and you have Jesus as your goal. And honestly, who doesn't want to be like Jesus? Who doesn't love Jesus? See, what he's tapping into is the very thing we've been talking about this entire time. We keep going when we like where we're headed. And if Jesus is our goal, who doesn't like that? I mean, honestly, who doesn't want to be as loving as Jesus? Who doesn't want to be as kind as Jesus? Who doesn't want to be as forgiving as Jesus? Who doesn't want to end up that way? And so what the writer is saying is saying, hey, guys, this is how you do it. This is how you persevere. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You listen to the testimonies of other people to remind yourself it's worth it to follow Jesus. You lean into Jesus for wisdom. If there may be things in your life you shouldn't be doing, you lean into Jesus for clarity about how to walk on solid ground with him. It seems so simple. It seems so clear. So why is it so hard? I mean, we can be real for a minute. I know right now in this moment, it's easy for us to say, oh, you're right. Jesus is the best. Yes, of course I want to be like Jesus. Yes, okay, I can persevere. I can keep walking. I can do this. But here's what I know, and here's what maybe you know, but you don't want to admit, and so I'll admit it for you. It's hard. And there will come a time today, there will come a time this week, there will come a time this month where we'll lose the picture. And we'll feel like quitting. We'll say, you know what? I don't feel like parenting like Jesus today. I don't feel like leading like Jesus today. I don't feel like loving like Jesus today. I don't feel like serving like Jesus today. I'm tired. I've been working hard. I'm done. I know it's right, but I don't feel like doing it today. And Wellspring, in those moments, what do? In those moments, does God have an answer? Does God have a tool that can help us persevere when we know all the right answers, we know what to do, but we just don't feel like doing it? The answer is yes, he does. And in fact, he gave us the answer in Hebrews chapter 10. I just skipped it. In a minute, I'm going to read it, but I skipped the answer in Hebrews chapter 10 because so often in life, we skip the answer in Hebrews chapter 10. And I wanted us to see what God offers outside of this one piece, so that it could all be clear to us, we can't move forward outside of everything God offers. And this one piece that I skipped that God offers makes all the difference. Let me show you. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. And he says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. It's all about us. Let us hold tightly. God can be trusted. We have testimonies of his trustedness. We can experience it for ourselves. So how do we hold tightly? What's the missing piece? It's in the next verse. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us, let the church, let people who are following Jesus think of ways to motivate one another, to cheer each other on, to encourage each other, to spur each other on to good work. See, Wellspring, God knows that it is difficult at times to keep our head down. It is difficult to walk in faith. It is easy to lose a picture. Even when we have this amazing example of Jesus, and even when we have his wisdom, and even when we can see how other lives have been changed, there is a race we are running, and the race is a marathon. And sometimes in a marathon, knowing there's an end and knowing other people have run it isn't enough. Yeah, I studied this a little bit, and if you talk to marathon runners, do you know what most of them will say makes the difference in whether they finish or not? What the difference is in the success or failure? It's not their training. It's not their pace. It's the crowd. It's the cheering fans. It's the signs. It's the encouragement. It's the motivation they receive from other people to keep going. And see, what I think is revealed in that illustration and what God is trying to reveal to us today is the real secret to perseverance, the real key to perseverance. It's community. It's having people come around us to cheer us on, to spur us on. Parents, it's why we cheer so loudly at our kids' sporting events. It's why when things get worse, we cheer more. Because we know that there is power in encouragement. It's why the videos we saw earlier, it's why they move us so much. Because they reveal that fundamental truth. First responders, medical workers, they know what they're doing matters. They know that going to work, doing what they know works, will save lives. They know it's worth it. They see the end, but it doesn't mean there aren't times where they just get exhausted, where they're just tired. And it's as if our nation and our community just understood inherently, you know what they need right now? They just need some applause. They just need some cheers. They just need some encouragement. They just need to know that there are people that are with them and behind them and appreciate them and are motivating them to keep going. And I think that is an absolutely perfect picture of the church. It's a perfect picture of what Jesus wants to offer. Last week, he gave us the wisdom to walk on solid ground. He directed us down a path. This week, he wants to give us the energy and the ability to keep walking down that path. And yes, we have testimonies. We have before and afters. We have his wisdom. We have him as a guide. All that is great, but sometimes, church, we just need a pat on the back. We just need an attaboy. We just need some motivation. And so my challenge this week is that as we seek to persevere, may we be a place that motivates one another to good works. May we be a place that motivates one another to persevere. So here's my challenge. Who can you motivate this week? Who can you send a text to? Who can you make a phone call to just to tell them you see them and that they are doing a great job. Your motivation could be the little piece of fuel they need to keep walking and to keep pursuing their Heavenly Father and the tasks He laid out for them. And I know some of you're like me. You want to be able to reach out. You want to be able to help. But there are times where you are just depleted. And even the idea of reaching out right now, you just don't know if you have the energy. You don't know if you can do it. I understand that. And if that's you today, if that's how you feel, if you see the path, you know what you're supposed to do, but you just lack the energy and the motivation to take that next step, at Wellspring, we see you. And this is for you.
Hey, first responders.
Hey, new remote workers.
Hey, parents that are involved in distance learning.
Hello, Wellspring volunteers.
Hey, community leaders.
Hey, college students.
Hey, single parents.
Hey, kids and students.
Hey, young families.
Healthcare workers.
Teachers.
Builders, contractors, subcontractors.
Couples spending a lot of time together.
Hey, all you dads out there.
Hey, moms working from home with little ones.
Hey, mom and dad.
Hey, parents.
We see you.
We see you.
We see you.
We see you.
We see you stepping up when others can't.
Working on your own when you're used to working in an office full of people.
We see you helping out your family and your neighbors.
You're out there working hard, trying to get to the different jobs, trying to navigate the social distancing.
Doing it all from home, juggling work, parenting, schooling.
We see you putting in more hours than you normally would just so our kids can keep learning.
Missing your friends, but loving the extra time with your family.
We see you doing whatever it takes to do well and finish the semester strong.
Turning your dining rooms into classrooms.
We see you taking on roles that you never imagined with grace and perseverance.
Showing your children what strong really is.
Making an impact that's going to last a lifetime.
We see you choosing to trust that God loves us no matter what.
We see everything that you're doing.
And we want you to know that we've got your back. And if you need us, we are here for you.
Thank you for what you are doing because it's such an encouragement in these unprecedented times.
We also want to thank your families as well who have been sacrificing during this time.
You're doing great.
You're doing amazing.
You're doing awesome.
Keep up the good work. Hang in there.
Be proud of yourself. You're doing it.
You're doing a lot better than you think you are.
And you are my hero.
Go mamas, go mamas. It's your
love you so much. Thank you.